grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hisham's journey to the Christian faith was an unusual one and seemingly rather unlikely. Hisham was born in a Muslim family in the Middle East and was raised in a world of bitter animosity between Muslims and Christians. Growing up, he had experienced physical attacks from Christians, and at the age of 13, he joined an extremist group which killed Christians. He even fought against them in the war in Lebanon in 1975. Zealous for his faith, he was decided to become a Muslim preacher. But during this time, a car accident had laid him up in a hospital for an entire year. And while he was laying in a hospital bed, some missionary sneaked onto his table a Lutheran Hour Ministry pamphlet, which he, having nothing to do, of course, read. The seed was planted. Then tragedy struck. In 1980, during his first semester in college, a Christian militia group killed his brother. And his response to this tragedy was to study by day and then at night to participate in this group to get revenge against the Christians. However, one day in his studies, he heard the Sermon on the Mount in a cultural studies class that brought him to faith. He was amazed at the words of Jesus. The Holy Spirit worked through our Lord's words to bring him to faith. And so he left his former life and went to seminary to become a pastor, and he currently serves in northern Illinois. Was Hisham's journey to faith unusual? Yes. Was it rather unlikely? You betcha. But God loves to use the unusual and the unlikely to spread his kingdom and to share his gospel message. And we see that in our gospel text this morning with the ex-demon-possessed man. Jesus starts by going to an unusual and unlikely place for a Jew. He goes to the country of the Gerasenes, probably to a city called Gadara. Gadara was part of a collection of cities called the Decapolis, which means 10 cities in Greek. And it seems to be a rather Gentile place, or at least not very Jewish. The fact that there are pig herders there seems to suggest that there's not a strong Jewish influence, since pigs were unclean animals to Jews. It's odd that Jesus is here in such an unclean and Gentile place. And when he gets off the boat, he's met by a rather strange person. They say first impressions are everything, and this man gives a strange one. He's met by a demon-possessed man who is called Legion. He's named Legion not because there are 5,000 to 6,000 demons in him, but because many had been in him. And so as we hear about his story from Luke, you really have to feel bad for this poor man that greets Jesus. This demon-possessed man suffers a terrible fate. No one could help him with his problem, so what they would do is they would chain him up. They would shackle his hands and shackle his feet and keep him under guard. However, he would break these chains and be driven into the desert by the demon, a place of isolation and extreme heat. But Luke also says he was naked for some time and hopeless, and he lived in the tombs, which would have made him unclean. Others seem to have seen this man as crazy or deranged, since they are surprised to finally see him in his right mind. Really, what an unusual person to be greeted by. But Jesus decides to help this man, and so he's going to get rid of those demons that torment him and ruin his faith life and his personal life. And he does so by entertaining a rather strange request. As he casts out the demons, he has a conversation with them. They tell him their name, and then the demons give an unusual request. They ask, no, beg to go into the pigs rather than the abyss. What is the abyss? hell. And even demons don't want to go there. And Jesus, unlikely, complies. He grants their request. He casts the demons out of the man and gives them permission to enter to the pigs, of which they immediately cause some chaos. As they enter these pigs, they have them rush off the steep cliff and drown in the lake. Can you imagine the scene? It's rather grotesque. The sound and splashing and squealing of 2,000 pigs, the crash of their bodies hitting the water, the sight of their motionless bodies floating around, the image of grown men running and fleeing from the scene. Well, that's what happened. And the pig herders share this unusual incident throughout the land. And so naturally, people come out to see what happened. And as they do, they find the demon-possessed man healed and restored. They find the once naked, crazy, and wild, out-of-control man now clothed, sane, sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind. He's free from the tyranny of Satan. He's clean and cleansed. What an unlikely sight for the people of Gadara. But the story takes a strange twist. Rather than having Jesus stay, they want him to leave since they are scared from the incident. And so the man begs to go with Jesus, and Jesus says, "No, you stay here." Really strange, huh? But Jesus has another plan for the man. He tells him, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." The grammar of the verbs for return and declare, note these are to be ongoing actions and things. He is to keep returning home and to keep declaring what God has done. It's to be a way of life for him. And so the man returns home and declares what God has done. What an unusual and unlikely person to be a missionary in the Gerasenes. Do you know what? This really shouldn't come as a surprise, for God loves to use the unusual and unlikely things in people of this world to spread his kingdom. He uses unlikely and unusual means to save us. God uses water with the word baptism to make us alive and to mark us as his children. Jesus gives us his body and blood and bread and wine to strengthen and preserve us to life everlasting. He uses words, both written and spoken, to create faith in us and give us forgiveness. God uses a rugged cross with a bloodied Savior to give us his grace and appease his wrath. He uses an empty tomb, a rock, to proclaim Christ's victory and to show our freedom from death, sin, and the power of the devil. These are by no means significant or impressive things. And in fact, they seem rather insignificant, unusual, and unlikely. But that is what God uses. And he uses unlikely and unusual people as well. The demon-possessed man is a great example. The scripture is full of examples of this. A song I heard in college captures this point perfectly. The second verse of the song went like this. Noah was a drunk man, Abraham an old man, Jacob was a lying man, Leah second best. Jonah should have followed God but ran away instead. Martha was a worrywart, Lazarus was dead. As is, he chooses us as his. No excuses, he uses us as his. The people of faith weren't perfect or without their flaws. Some were unusual like the prophets. Some had checkered pasts like Paul the apostle or Rahab the prostitute. Others seemed to be the least likely to be chosen to spread this message like the disciples. Yet still God used them and worked through them. And it's the same with us as well. We're not perfect people. We're not free from our flaws, yet God still uses you and me to extend his kingdom, the church. We might stutter when we speak. We might wrestle with personal problems. We might be a worrywart like Martha or have a checkered past. Maybe we're just normal and ordinary or think we're well past our prime. Yet God uses and overcomes our weaknesses to share his gospel message through us at home, at work, at play, and in our lives. When you hear Jesus in our text say, "Return home and declare how much God has done for you," who comes to mind? Who's the first person that appears before you? Who do you picture? That'd be a great person to start to tell the wonderful things that God has done for you through Jesus Christ. And the beauty of this call to spread this gospel is this, that God has different things and ways planned for us to do this. Some people, like the disciples in our text, are to go to far away in new places to declare what God has done. Who knows, you might even get sent to a place like Minnesota to do so. Others may stay close to home to declare what God has done, like the ex-demon-possessed man. Proclaiming him in St. Paul or Roseville is not a bad thing either. Some of us may share the message of Christ with hundreds of people, maybe just 10 people, or just your family, or one. And all those are needed. They're important, and it is valued. Regardless of where you are and who you are, God has called us to do this, and he equips us through our baptism. He is with us for this task and journey. Perhaps, after all, Hesham's journey to faith isn't that unusual or unlikely. Maybe Jesus going to the Gerasenes isn't that strange. Maybe Jesus choosing an ex-demon-possessed man to proclaim his wonders isn't that surprising after all. For God loves to use the unusual and the unlikely for his purposes. And that includes you and me. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.